Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 4, Texts 3 and 4. Prapaccha chemam evartam. Prapaccha chemam evartam. Yanmam prichata satamaha. Yanmam prichata satamaha. Krishnanu bhava shravane. Krishnanu bhava shravane. Shradhano mahamana. Shradhano mahamanaha. Samstam vignaya sanyasa. Karma trai vargikam chayat. Vasudeve bhagavati. Atma bhavam dridam gataha. Okay, yeah, we'll just do that first one. Okay. So we chanted the second one. I'll chant the first one one more time, and then we can do it responsibly. Prapaccha chemam evartam. Yanmam prichata satamaha. Krishnanu bhava shravane. Shradhano mahamanaha. Others, please, just the first verse. Prapa cha. Asked. Cha. Also. Imam. This. Eva. Exactly like. Artam. Purpose. Yat. That. Mam. Unto me. Pachata. You are asking. Satamaha. O great sages. Krishna Anubhava. Wrapped in thought of Krishna. Shravane. In hearing. Shradhanaha. Full of faith. Mahamanaha. The great soul. Samshtam. Death. Vigyaya. Being informed. Sanyasya. Renouncing. Karma. Fruit of activities. Jaivargikam. The three principles of religion. Economic development and sense gratification. Ja. Also. Yat. What it may be. Vasudeva. And to Lord Krishna. Bhagavati. The personality of Godhead. Atmabhavam. Attraction of love. Dridam. Firmly fixed. Gataha. Achieve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It's a long purport, so everybody can be prepared. O great sages, the great soul, Maharaj Parikit, constantly wrapped in thought of Lord Krishna, knowing well of His imminent death, renounced all sorts of fruitive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in his natural love for Krishna and asked all these questions exactly as you are asking me. So this is Sutta Goswami speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. Purport. The three activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification are generally attractive for conditioned souls struggling for existence in the material world. Such regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas are called the Karmakandiya conception of life, and householders are generally recommended to follow the rules just to enjoy material prosperity both in this life and in the next. Most people are attracted by such activities. Even in the activities of their modern godless civilization, people are more concerned with economic development and sense gratification without any religious sentiments. As a great emperor of the world, Maharaj Parikit had to observe such regulations of the Vedic Karmakandiya section. But by his slight association with Sukadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, for whom he had a natural love since his birth, is everything, and thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Vedic Karma Kandiya activities. This perfectional stage is attained by a jnani after many, many births. The jnanis, or the empiric philosophers endeavoring for liberation, are thousands of times better than the fruit of workers, and out of hundreds of thousands of such jnanis, one is liberated factually. And out of hundreds and thousands of such liberated persons, even one person is rarely found who can firmly fix his mind unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, as declared by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 19. Anybody here who's been a devotee 5 years or less and can quote that verse for us? 5 years or less. What? Go ahead. Translation? Loud, not loud. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very, very rare. Pretty good. Maharaj Parikit is specially qualified with the word Mahamanaha, which puts him on an equal level with the Mahatmas described in the Bhagavad Gita. In the later age also, there have been many Mahatmas of this type, and they also gave up all karmakandiya conceptions of life, solely and wholly depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself, taught us in his Shishashtika, number 8, Aslishava Padaratam Panastumam Adarshanam Mamahatam Kadotuva Yata Tata Vavadidhatalam Pato Matprana Natas Tusaeva Napadaha. Lord Krishna, who is the lover of many devotees, women, may embrace this fully surrendered maidservant or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me brokenhearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time. But still he is nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. Srila Rupa Goswami spoke thus. Virachaya mai dandam dina bandhu dayamiva gatir iha na bhavata kachit anya mamasti nipattatu sata koti nirbaram va navamba tadapi kila payoda stuyate chatakena. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. End quote. Srila Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, took leave of all karmakandiya obligations in the following words. Sanja vandana badram astu bhavato bo shnana tubhyam namo bo deva pitarascha tarpana vido naham shama shamyatam yatra kvapi nishadya yarava kulotamasya tamsa dvisa smaram smaram agam harami tad alam manye kim anyena me. O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sins, simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of further endeavors? Srila Madhavendra Puri said further, Mugdam mam nigadantu nita nipunu brantam muhor vaidika mandam bandhava sanjaya jada diam muktadara sodara unmatam danino viveka chatura kamam maha dambikam moktam na chamate manag api mano govinda padap spriham. Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. And also, Prahlad Maharaj said, Dharmartha kama itiyo bibitas trivarga, iksha trai maya damo vividha, Chavarta Manye Taretad Akilam Nigamasya Satyam Swatmarpanam Sva Surida Paramasya Pumsa. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification are celebrated as three means of attaining the path of salvation. Of these, Iksha Trayi especially, i.e., knowledge of the self, knowledge of fruitive activities, and logic, and also politics and economics, are different means of livelihood. All these are different subjects of Vedic education, and therefore I consider them temporary engagements. On the other hand, surrendering unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu is a factual gain in life. I consider it the ultimate truth. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 26. The whole matter is concluded in the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Text 41, as Vayavasayatmika Buddhi, or the Absolute Path of Perfection. Srila Baladev Vijayabhusan, a great Vaishnav scholar, defines this as Bhagavat Archana Rupaika Niskama Karmabir Vishuddha Chitta, accepting transcendental loving service to the Lord as the prime duty, free from fruitive reaction. So, Maharaj Prakrit was perfectly right when he firmly accepted the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, renouncing all karmakandiya conceptions of life. Om Aginata Mananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Swaparanti Kam. Okay. Well, you definitely already heard the best part of the class. That was an incredible purport by Srila Prabhupada. So, Maharaj Prakrit, what's going on here? He's decided to firmly fixed in his natural love for Krishna. He's made a decision to make that the top priority. We could see what he did. You know, when he found out about the curse, he didn't go home and hang out in the palace with his wife and kids. You know, he could have done that, right? He was the emperor. Nobody was going to tell him what to do. And he didn't try to counteract it either. He just decided, okay, look, I've been cursed. Actually, it was predicted. I think we heard in earlier verses that even in his astrology, when he was first born, they did his astrology. And even then, it showed that he was going to be bitten by a snake and die. Like this. Is that correct? Anyone else remember that? Yeah. So he knew. He knew it was coming. And here it is. And this is what he decided to do. He decided, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to try to completely absorb myself in my natural love for Krishna and go out with a bang, so to speak. And as a means to that end, he left. He left his palace, you know, and he went out. So basically we have to analyze what is it that he did in principle so we can follow in the footsteps. The first thing he did was he removed himself from distractions. And that was, you know, wasn't an easy thing. As I said, he was the emperor. He had a nice, big, comfortable palace. I'm sure he had a nice, loving wife there, kids, lots of friends, you know, but he decided, no, I got to go. This is going to be a distraction. You know, they're all my well wishes and everything, but, you know, my wife's going to come and she's going to start crying and the kids are going to, you know, no, it's not going to work. I got to go remove myself from distractions. I have to put myself in a place where I'm going to be free from distraction. I could, you know, have this focus on what I want, on this, my objective, which is to completely fix my mind, completely absorb myself in this, my natural love for Krishna. That was first point, first principle. Second principle is he surrounded himself by good association. See, so we have to do like this. We have to make arrangements in our lives to, you know, remove ourselves from distraction, place ourselves in good association. He did those two things. And it's very important. So, you know, it's not like we're hearing this and it's something that, oh, this is like some story. How does it relate to our lives? No, it completely relates to our lives. So on a regular day-to-day basis, we have to do those two things. We have to remove ourselves from distraction. Like, for instance, give an example. When you chant your rounds, you have a duty, you have a responsibility to yourself to put yourself in an atmosphere where you're not going to be distracted. That's part of it. You got to do that. And it might be the temple room for somebody. It might be your room for somebody. It might be, you know, the roof of Trader Joe's parking lot for somebody. But that's, you got to do that. You got to put yourself in a situation where that to minimize the distraction. And that's really important because distraction is going to be there anyway. Even if you do that, distraction is going to be there. There's one a famous associate of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Bhugarbha Goswami. Does anybody know what that means? Bhugarbha Goswami? It's a name, but I don't know the history. But I can imagine it started off as a nickname. Well, Bhu refers to the earth. And Garbha means hidden. So Bhugarbha Goswami means hidden in the earth, Goswami. That's what he did. He had a cave. He lived in a hole in the ground. Why? Because he didn't want to be distracted. Bhugarbha. He was hidden in the ground. He did that for that purpose. You know, even Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, when they were in Vrindavan, they didn't live together. They were brothers. They were both like super devotees, but they lived separately. And the reason was because they really wanted to be like 100% focused on their sadhana, on their bhajan. Right? So that's a point. And the other thing was, surround ourselves with good association. See? Because you get encouragement in the good association. It makes you more serious. Now, on this point of good association, you know, being in association, this is a very practical point, and I think it's a very important point. We have to understand that we ourselves and the other devotees who we're associating with, we're not necessarily completely paramahamsas yet. You know, we're not like completely perfect. So you have to be prepared. You have to put yourself in good association, but you have to be prepared to be tolerant. And I'll give a couple shastric references for that. Sura can appreciate this point. Shama. I've heard him say it in many classes. So Prabhupada this is an anecdote. These devotees came to Prabhupada, leading devotees, and they said, Prabhupada, we're having a problem with such and such sannyasi. I'm not supposed to mention names these days, so I won't. Such and such sannyasi. He's very rough. He's kind of like borderline, like a bump. We could say abusive. I mean, he's really heavy duty. But at the same time, and it wasn't the first time Prabhupada had heard that about that sannyasi, right? He was notorious, you know. But Prabhupada said, But the thing was, this particular sannyasi, he was doing great service. He's doing great service. Matter of fact, he's been he's been recognized for that service in Vrindavan at the Krishna Balaram temple. His name appears on a plaque. It's etched in marble. Prabhupada, you know, made that thing a point that he wanted to recognize his service like that forevermore. So anyway, so when these complaints came to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, what could I do? When a cow gives milk, you have to tolerate a few kicks. See? So the point is that, you know, everybody's got their idiosyncrasies. Right? Everybody's got their idiosyncrasies. Sometimes, you know, you might be feeling like, oh my God, how could so-and-so say that? Or how could so-and-so do that? But at the same time, you got to remember, that same person is... People are thinking about it, you. That same thing about you. They think, oh my God, how could he do that? How could he say it? We have to tolerate. Shama. We have to tolerate the idiosyncrasies of other devotees and try to see the bigger picture. You know? The bigger picture is that Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavam Mam Papajante Vasudeva Savarmiti Samahatma Sadurlabaha. That it's very rare. You know, Prabhupada's saying it in this purport. It's very rare that somebody becomes, it's very rare that somebody even tries to become a devotee. Prabhupada, right in this purport, he goes through the whole thing. He talks about how there's, out of many karmis, where did it go? Here we go. Yeah, out of many karmis, there's maybe one gyani. Out of many thousands of gyanis, there may be one liberated person. Out of many liberated persons, there may be one devotee of Krishna. Out of one devotee of, out of many thousands of devotees of Krishna, there may be one pure devotee of Krishna. So, you know, devotees are very, very rare. That somebody comes along and wants to be is willing to try to engage in devotional service to Krishna is like, woo! That's like an amazing thing, right? So you have to always keep that in mind. You have to try to be like interacting with the devotees and trying to always see the big, remember the big picture, that this, these are rare souls. These are rare souls that I'm getting the opportunity to interact with. You see? And the immediate thing might come to your mind is, what do you mean, so-and-so's a rare soul? I mean, he or she is just like, nothing to do with like brilliance or academic scholarship. And I mean, it's nice. Sometimes, you know, devotees can be brilliant and devotees can be great scholars and this and that, but that's not the real thing. That's not the lakshana. That's the tatashta quality. The lakshana quality is that that person has made a decision to try to place their faith in the words of Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas. That's that person's, you know, awesome quality. See? So, and yet that's what we have to appreciate. Here's somebody who's made that decision. They're trying to place their faith in what we've been learned from Prabhupada and the Sipic succession. So that's like a super special quality. So, you know, trying to always remember that, bearing that in mind, we have to like that. I do Sankirtan lately with Prema Sankirtan. And, you know, he's a commando by nature. If he wasn't a devotee, he would have been a great spy. Because just by nature, he's kind of like, he just knows how to get away without being seen, or he does everything like a commando. And me, I'm more like an Aussie, you know, she'll be right, mate. That's my mood in life, you know, just don't worry, it'll work out somehow, you know. Very careless about security or detail. So, you know, we have a lot of little clashes, but we worked it out. We have a motto, you know, and then also, you know, he'll do something and I'll say, what a stupid thing. And then I'll do something, he'll think, what a stupid thing. Or then I'll do something that's, you know, I'll figure out a clever way to get into a building and then I'll think like, so it kind of goes back and forth and we have like a motto. Sometimes I'm smart, sometimes you're smart. Two heads are better than one. We kind of work that out. So you have to figure out a way to kind of, you know, interact with the devotees. Remember the big picture. This is actually a rare soul I'm having the opportunity to associate with. Let me try to make it nice, you know? Have a nice relationship, a nice, friendly, loving relationship. It's a very important thing. Remembering once again how, you know, the devotees are such great souls. On the same point, a little bit more on the same point, I was watching, you know, everybody watches the news a little bit these days to keep up with what's going on. So in the process of, you know, seeing the news, the COVID news, you know, the local news, you catch a bit of other news too. And you can't help but see sometimes about what's going on with the Chinese. How, you know, the Chinese Communist Party is very aggressive. And I used to always think, I had to miss before this whole COVID thing went on. I never used to watch the news at all. And I realize now I had a lot of misconceptions about different places in the world and what's going on there. One of them was about China. I thought China was like basically kind of like, a third world country with a lot of peasants, and they got some factories together and they were doing, you know, pretty good because they got the factories and, the economy was starting to build. But when you see these videos, you realize, whoa, no way. It's like a super high-tech, advanced country. And, you know, in every different which way. And then you couldn't help it. They show these clips of the video clips of their army. And you see thousands of soldiers, you know, with like miles of military equipment, weapons and stuff like that. And I'm going, whoa. I mean, you know, it's scary. And I would lie down after seeing something like that. And, you know, I'd lie down on my bed and I'd just be relaxing. Start falling off to sleep, and I start like daydreaming. I said, wow, maybe Gauranga Prema is like a spy for the Chinese. And he's here to learn all the secrets about Sankirtan and deity worship. Take that back to the Chinese Communist Party, you know? But then I would snap out of it, and I remember, no, wait a second, what would the Chinese Communist Party want to do with the secrets about book distribution and deity worship? We're still very, he's one of my favorite devotees in the temple. Could everybody hear that? Oh, okay. Good. Say it again loud so everybody can.
In the past, the public security learning in China, they send
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's about all I have to say. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, everybody. Hope that was enough substance there for...
Hare Krishna. I was listening to a class yesterday by Bhaktidhira Damodara Goswami about offenses, and it kind of led me to want to look into the topic a little bit, so I spent an hour just reading. And
spent an hour trying to be offensive. No, go ahead.
No. I spent an hour studying the book Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he goes into depth about the 10 offenses. And I was particularly interested in understanding Vaishnava Aparad, and in his explanation, it's really fascinating because he says that there's 26 qualities of a Vaishnav, and of them, one is primary and the other 26 are marginal. And he says that the primary characteristic is surrender to Krishna. And he said that if one has that quality, then all the other qualities will develop. And he said if someone judges a Vaishnav based on the residual effects of previous sinful activities, but doesn't take into consideration the primary characteristic of surrender to Krishna, then they commit an offense. So I was just relating to what you were saying, that, you know, the primary characteristic of everyone in Krishna consciousness is they're trying to dedicate their lives to Krishna. And so regardless of the residual anomalies that may exist within that person's character, it should be overlooked.
Yeah, yeah. Prabhupada used to tell the anecdote story about how his father, when he went to take bath in the Ganges, sometimes he saw it. He said he'd go in the Ganges and there'd be some like stool floating around, and his father just brushed it away and he took his bath. So the same thing, you know, you have to be thinking like that, that I'm not going to let this quality, that idiosyncrasy, these are devotees, they're special people, and I have to, you know, relate to him as such and not be disturbed by the external, what you're saying. Yeah, thank you. Good comment. Anybody else like to say anything? Archita Prabhu. Good point. Anybody else? Same thing? Okay, thank you very much. Gancho Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.